You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Check out these guys on the rocks, man. This is what God, and I shared this with you before, this is what I left about a year ago, 10 months ago. Those guys, now, when you look at this, man, and this really captures what I want to hit with you today on faith, but these pictures are, this is just typical Arizona country. Now, that guy at the top, they dress like this. Now, he's got the longer version shorts, but everybody kind of looks like that. All that beach body, you know what I mean? I've got more of a beached body. You get that? You know where I'm rolling from there with that? So, you get out on these rocks, and I've got a junior high son, so man, he wants to be up there. He wants to be jumping from rock to rock. And you get up there, and it sounds like a good idea, jumping from cliff to cliff, rock to rock. And then you begin to look at this, and you're like, he's like, Daddy, am I going to get hurt? It's like, and you're trying not to scare him because you want him to be adventurous, but you're like, that's more like paralysis or a trip to the ICU, what we're looking at trying to do. And it just takes the fun out of, because you go like, okay, this is what I want to experience. I want to jump from that rock to that pool. I want to jump from that rock to that rock. And it sounds great. And really, truly, most of the time, the way these things are laid out, you can do that. If you could jump 2 feet, you could normally climb on these rocks and jump. But it does take what we're going to look at today, some faith. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, and probably lower testosterone levels, the faith steps become a little more difficult for me. It would seem the opposite. I don't know, maybe God intended for it to be the opposite, but I wonder if just a little bit, the reason that they're more difficult is because they're usually bigger steps. They're usually greater risk. The longer you've been a Christ follower, whether it's been a week or a month or a year, every step of God, it just feels a little bigger, like God is asking you to step out into a little deeper water, a little more unclear situation. And he's called us that it would be okay if we could just bow out or just get a pass like, hey, man, I'm only at this income bracket, or really, man, I have this job, or I've got this many kids, or I've had this happen to me in my life. And God will be like, okay, I'm going to give you a pass on taking steps of faith. But really, he doesn't do that. He calls everybody to take these steps of faith. It's going to be unique to your journey. It's going to be unique to what God's calling you to do. It's going to be unique to your makeup. And we need stories like we're going to look at today. Because everybody, when they take a risk, they ask several questions. What's the cost? What's the cost of this risk? What's this going to cost me in my life? What's the changes or change that will have to take place? And this is the one I think that kind of sticks us a lot. What is this step going to look like when I take it? So, like, I want to take this step. I feel like you're asking me to do this thing, God. I've seen it in the scriptures, or you moved me in a song, or I heard it in a message from one of the pastors. But how? What's it going to look like? And God says, that's all up to me. And we're like, what? And so he's left these eternal stories like we're going to look at today to help us have the courage to take a step of faith and to do what he's asking us to do. You're getting ready to go into initiative, and finances are they're the toughest, most delicate piece for any pastor, because you don't want to talk about it, and yet you know that you have to talk about it, right? I mean, you'd rather talk about grace or healing or mercy or serving, but when we talk about cash, what's our greatest struggles in life? Most of us would say money. Money is what hangs us up, holds us back, what keeps us from doing some of the things that we feel like God even wants us to do. And as a good pastor and pastoral staff, they have to challenge us to remind us that finances are even about God. God is about finances too, and that he owns everything. So we are bringing our tithe. We're not giving him something. He's letting us keep the 90. And then we say, okay, Lord, how do I manage this 90, or what else can I do with this 90 for your kingdom? And sometimes they ask you to take a big step of faith. I had a guy call me the other day in our new church plant. It's such a blessing. I had two churches back out. Not back out, they backed off. and they were supposed to be heavily supporting us, and it dropped to about 30% of our support. And I thought, I'm going to relive Arizona all over again. That's what I thought I was looking at. And I was looking at that. And then God begins to accelerate all these other pieces. This one church is wanting to merge with us. Another church may merge with us. We're like seven meetings in. We got about 30 people coming to a Bible study. And God's just orchestrating this cool thing. But I get a call the other day, and a guy I haven't talked to in a long time, and he said, hey, man, he messaged me on Messenger. He said, call me. And so I called him, and we began to talk, and we chit-chat. We caught up. How's the family? How's the kids? What's going on? What's new in your life? And I knew there was a reason that he called, because it's kind of like Ryan. Ryan never calls unless there's something to the something, right? So, hey, man, what's up? And he always makes it sound like he's doing you a favor, right? Like, hey, why don't you come and help me lift this rock, man? You know, you like lifting heavy stuff. And, okay, man, that sounds great. Yeah, it's good exercise, right? I mean, we'll have a good time. We'll go eat lunch or something, you know? So it was one of those kind of calls where it was like, okay, well, the ask was coming. But I said, hey, man, it doesn't feel like we've covered all the bases. So what can I do for you? How can I serve you? What can I do for you? He said, well, Jay, he goes, our last meeting, and I'm very hesitant to tell the backstory, but let's just say in the backstory that he really did a number on me in the past, really hurt me. And then my pastorate in Louisville, he shows up one Sunday and leaves before I can even talk with him. I'd forgive him. There's no hard feelings on my part at all, literally at all. And I literally catch him backing out of a parking place, knocking on his window, like, dude, you drove here from Cleveland. What's going on? Talk to me. And he's like, before you say a word, I'm sorry for what I did to you. I'm sorry for how I hurt you. I'm sorry for, I was in a bad spot in my life. I said, man, let's go to lunch. We went to lunch, and I had just read some books that God had really used in my life. I just suggested them to him. He read them. Well, they were what changed his life, changed his marriage, changed his job. Long story short, he's calling me. He said, Jamie, I'm debt-free now. And he said, I got these stock options that I sold. I had to sell them, and I want to tithe to your church. Where can I write a $10,000 check to? Who do I make this out to? And I'm like, Jamie Johnson Ministries, of course. You know, no. $10,000. That makes up for 2/3 of what the other churches didn't get. And it showed me again this life of faith that is so heavy sometimes and so frustrating. God can do what he wants to do. And I think the key is what we're going to look at today. And it's so simple, you're going to probably wonder, like, why did I get out of bed for this? But it's literally probably one of the greatest keys to the Christian life. So we're going to look at Judges 6. And faith is a risk that maybe you don't want to take. It's a risk that just feels too big. And God has left this journal of these people that have done faith steps in the past. And let's just take a look at how he operates. And maybe that'll bolster us enough to take the step he's asking us to take. Look at Judges 6, verse 11 with me. The angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak that was in Ophrah. I cannot read that word without thinking of Austin Powers and Austin Powers saying Oprah Winfrey. I'm Richard Cunningham, and this is my wife, Ophrah. That's my ADD working. So, some people are real spiritual, not me. Which belonged to Joash, the Abarazite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine vat. And that's either like with a sickle or with these nunchuck-looking things. He's threshing wheat in the wine vat in order to hide it from the Midians. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Gideon said to him, what? Really, please, sir? I love this. God affirms Gideon. God looks at Gideon and affirms him as if he's already taken the step and he's already led the country and he's already taken all these massive steps of faith. God sees in him what he absolutely cannot see in himself. God sees in him this intrinsic value. God sees him as if Gideon would have already put his faith in him and taken the faith steps. This is imperative for us because God looks at you the same way. God looks at you as if you've already taken the faith step. God looks at you and says, I wonder, man, if she will step out of that narrative and let me heal this area of her life and step into this narrative, oh my goodness, this is what this is going to look like. And so when he views you through that lens. And we feel like he's viewing us through shame or that one thing that just cannot, we can't get off our back, or that one emotion that just follows us everywhere, or that one person that's just the barb in our spirit at work or in our family or whatever the case would be. And God says, no, I see you through a lens of faith. I see you through, it's not naive belief. I see you through surrendering to me and what can happen if you surrender to me. I see the battles you can win when you surrender your heart to me. And God sees each one of us. John 3:16 will be the key verse. He sees us through relationships, not your circumstances. He sees you as having taken a step of faith or taking the steps of faith that leads to what he's asking you to do. And I got to tell you, and I don't understand this because I don't understand fully the brokenness of man and the awesome sovereignty and holiness of God, but sometimes it feels like rejection, Ryan. God says, God looks at you and he's saying, take a step of faith, take a step of faith. Man, I want you to do this. And you know you've got to do it, but it feels like he's really not backing your play. He's just asking you to do something. It's almost like jumping off one of those cliffs. It feels suicidal. It feels like, are you really asking? I mean, come on, God. Are you really bringing me home from Arizona to have happened to me exactly again what happened to me out there? Because that's the backstory the last time I spoke, and I shared some of that. The exact same thing happened to me. And I am like, am I either the biggest idiot ever called to ministry, or I have got Ichabod written on my life. Something is going down in the city that I don't understand. And God says, hang with me. Because I'm seeing you, Ephesians 4. I'm seeing you, Ephesians 2, through my lens, through my identity. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, what's that mean for you? That today, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you're coming from, where you've started, whether you're religious, irreligious, whether you're dabbling in other religions, whatever the case may be, you could come to Christ today, connect with him in a personal relationship, and have direct access to the God of the universe. If you're a Jesus follower today, if you will stop and say, okay, the narrative says the opposite, Jamie, of my life, of what you're telling us today. The narrative says God's against me. The narrative says through my kids that you're saying that God doesn't get me. The narrative says this mosaic is messy and it's going to stay messy. What I'm asking you to do today, just in these couple verses, is just dare to believe that God is looking at you through a lens that you don't see yourself in. Just dare to believe. Will you do that with me? Just dare to believe. A follower of Christ, dare to believe. Hey, can you grab my water off that ledge back there, off the sound booth? I'm like, ha, thank you. Look at verse 14 with me. Actually, let's look at 13. God said to him, please, Gideon said to him, please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. Thank you, Ryan. Then check this out, verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the power of Midian. Am I not sending you? Okay, so he does what everybody in this room has done or will do, pushes back with circumstances. Now, here's a couple things that, depending on the version that you have, this is either Jesus Christ or like one of the archangels. This is like, in the version we're reading from, it appears to be Jesus. An angel of the angel of the Lord. It's capitalized, right? At least I don't know if it is online, but it is in the text. So you're either having a direct, we have a direct representation here in an Old Testament situation with Jesus, or the message is still coming from God Almighty himself. And Gideon, just, you see what's in his life. So God is viewing him through faith, and Gideon's like, really, God? Yes, sir. Yeah. I know you want to deliver us. Then why in the world did you let us go in bondage? And right there's where most people bail. Here's where I want you to see the grace and love of God. Look at verse 14 again. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. God didn't take it personal. God didn't flex up on him. Why? Because he was seeing Gideon as if Gideon had already taken a step of faith. He was seeing Gideon, if Gideon surrenders this piece of his heart, he's seeing Gideon through that eternal lens that says, Gideon, I know what you're going to do. I can see what you're capable of, but you can't see it yet. So what you've got to see, Gideon, is how I view you. I view you as brave. I view you as holy. I view you as warrior. I view you as poet. I view you as my kid. Will you catch this? We think when we push back that God suddenly rejects us. We think instruction is rejection. We think correction is rejection. Look at how awesome this is. He's like pushing back with a big attitude, and God is trying to see, let him see, you are a warrior of the faith. He's hiding, you know, with his little nunchucks, doing whatever he's doing with the wheat, you know. And God's saying, listen, you're a warrior. Step in to my narrative. Here's one thing you got to remember. Your feelings won't match. Your past is going to scream no. Your failures are going to like shout in your ear. When I was driving up here today, you know, like I said, Lord, you've got to help me, because it was like the enemy's like, it's going to suck today. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to have a bad night tonight. And I'm just like, what? You know, I'm drinking some water, listening to some worship music, driving the Griswold wagon, which is like embarrassing enough, right? It's like humiliating enough. You don't need the devil whispering in your ear when you drive a 92 Roadmaster. I mean, come on. You know, it's like there. You won't be able to see how. But here's what I want you to remember with opportunity. God's opportunity is his affirmation when he's calling you to something. God will not make it palatable. He will make the opportunity available. He will not make it easy. It will not be the easy step. When God is calling, if God's calling you to give to this initiative, and he is, and he's given you a mount in your heart, it's not going to be feasible in earthly. You're not going to be able to find it in your budget. You're not going to be able to find it in your abundance. But if he's called you to do it, the opportunity is his affirmation that he wants you to go for it. He wants you to give it a shot. Here's what God is showing as we just pause. Let me give you this. Probably should have given it at the beginning, but let's just pause. Big moves of God in my life are preceded by small steps of faith. This is it. Big moves of God are preceded by small steps of faith. God reveals what he wants you to do, you take the step. God reveals the next step, you take the step. God does not reveal step 20. God does not reveal step 50. God is never late. He's rarely early, but he's always on time with the step in front of you that you need to take, that I need to take. Big moves of God are preceded by small steps of faith. It's what builds your faith muscle. It's what builds your endurance in the faith. It's what gets you through the hard times. It's what reminds you when you've made the same mistake over and over again that God's still in your favor. But when you take the small steps of faith, look at verse 15. I mean, he lays it out. He said, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? So he's gone from the attitude of, please, sir, to, Lord, please, how can I deliver Israel? Look, I mean, God, look, seriously, look, my family's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. But I'll be with you, the Lord said. You will strike Midian as if you were one man. Please, God. There has to be this moment in your life, and then the call or whatever God's asking you to do from Scripture, that you say, okay, I believe, God, that you can. I believe you can. Okay, God, I believe you will. You're just taking small steps of faith. Not big steps of faith. Other people can take big steps of faith, but you're taking small steps of faith. Then there's this thing that when you let God into the private places, when you let God into the hurt, when you let God into the fear, when you let God heal what he needs to heal, when you let God begin to speak, and when you quit trying to prove yourself right and prove yourself to everybody, all the naysayers and all the people that, you know, that just, and then you hear their voices in your mind. When you just stop and say, God, take all this mess, and I'm opening myself up to what you want to do in my life. Here is my life. Speak truth to me. If you're not a believer, come into my life, Jesus. There's this moment that God can, and then that God will, and then that God must. And I have to take the step and see what he's going to do. God, I know you can. Most of us live and God can. Praise the Lord, Pastor. Yep, God can. God will. Uh-oh, be careful, because you're getting invested now. Your life's become a part of the story. your life's become a part of the win. I believe God can. I believe God will. And then there's this holy grind. It keeps you up at night until you surrender. You say, I believe God must. And it's almost like an easy step into, and I've got to be a part of it. It's almost like A-B. God's going to do this. He's got to do this, and I've got to be a part of it. So when God asked me to plant a church, I believe God can plant a church in Carlisle. I looked around. I saw the people. I saw the stuff on Facebook. I talked to people that weren't Christians, the stuff I shared before. I'm like, I believe God will. And about that time, two pastors said, we'll pay your salary till Easter. I believe God must, right? Then 2 months later, yeah, after the first year, we're going to cut that to the third. I still believe God must. And I got to be a part of it. We got to see how far this thing goes. We got to see what he's capable of. That's the Gideon moment. That's faith. It's uncomfortable. When you hear all the reassuring stories of faith, it's always in the rearview mirror after these moments. It's not in the middle of them. It's not in the middle if you're like talking to an angel hoping the enemies aren't listening. And Gideon went on, and those of you that don't know the story, he went on to, how many people use this term, I laid out a fleece? You ever heard that term? He laid out a fleece. Yeah, that's where this comes from. He literally laid out a fleece. And it was wet on the fleece and dry on the ground. He said, oh, Lord, please, don't be mad. I'm going to try it again. He laid out the fleece. It was dry on the ground and wet on the fleece, vice versa. Then he does all these other things. Lord, if you're here, then I'm going to bring this offering. And God accepted his offering, just reaffirming what he had already given him, placing value on him. But it comes time for the army. Tens of thousands of guys gather. And God looks at it and says, yeah, man, this is awesome. At this point, he's probably rock star feeling, right? Like he's like, I'm going to go buy some cool clothes because I'm going to be speaking in front of people. I better get my social media up. I better get ready to rock some big statement of faith. And God's like, yeah, you've got too many guys to face the greatest army on the planet. So let's get that army down 10,000 men. Yeah, that's still not looking like a faith step to me, Gideon. I think we'll roll with about 300. And then I'm going to give you the worst battle plan ever. I'm going to give you a trumpet, a candle, and a vase. What? I've watched Rambo. Where's the 50 cal, man? Right? Where's the exploding arrowheads, man? Right? Where's the tank? Where's the plane that comes out of the clouds you weren't expecting? And God narrows it down. But see, he had already crossed this line of faith. I believe God can. I believe God will. I believe God must. And I got to step and see what he does. And God knew Gideon, and I love this. Get this, because when you see value placed on a person, know that that's just transferable to you. God sees you as valuable, and he knows what you need to take the steps of faith he's calling you to take. Gideon, you would think, would be convinced. And God said, listen, man, slip into the enemy's camp, you and your servant, and listen to what they're saying. And he slips into the camp. The fleece has happened, the army, the battle plan, and they slip into the enemy camp, and they're like, hey, I had a dream. Gideon's going to roll through here sword of the Lord and Gideon. He's going to, this piece of bread rolled the camp, knocked all the tents down, whatever that means. Everybody's afraid, and Gideon's kind of like, this is awesome. So he did the world's worst battle plan ever. They blew the trumpets, dropped the thing, sword of the Lord, Gideon. They see the 300 torches. It must be like 300,000 of them. They turn on each other, begin killing each other. Then they take off running, and the Israelites slay them, and you have a story of faith. But it began this big move of God that we still talk about today, that organizations have been started, the Gideon's Bible, The Sword of the Lord, which I wouldn't recommend. It's like a fundamentalist newspaper. It'll probably really mush up, but it is, named after that story. Sword of the Lord and Gideon, There's some funny stuff in there, though, if you're comedic at all. But all these cool stories, all these cool things, this 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 year, whatever, how many thousands of years it is, story for us of faith. Just begin with one small step. And he began listening. He didn't understand what was happening. He would not have been able to articulate, God is, I'm beginning to embrace how God sees me. He wouldn't have known to say that. He just kept taking these steps of faith till after the battle. He's like, oh, wow. God sees me in a different light. God sees me as if I can take a step of faith with him. God sees me what can happen when I do begin to walk with him. For so long, and I know Ryan and I grew up in the same kind of churches, different denominations, but the same feel. Everything was negative. And there, sin destroys. Hell is real. Right? But there's a resurrection. And you don't die for somebody that you don't place intrinsic value on. And you don't pour your spirit into somebody, your life into somebody that you don't believe is worth your time. And God offers that to everybody that sits in this room today and everybody listening and everybody, whatever, connecting. To every one of us, he looks at you and says, oh, I see you. Oh, wow. When you take these steps of faith, that's going to be incredible. And he's going to begin to churn your heart. You can step out at any time you want. But if you keep taking the small steps of faith that end in a big move of God, a big move of God for your life, preacher's story is irrelevant. Your story, you will begin to say, I believe God can. I believe God will. You know, I believe God must, and I've got to be a part of this. And those small steps of faith equal a big move of God. God was going to move anyways. He just wanted you in on the action. He wanted you a part of the narrative. He wants you in on the win. Anybody need a win today? I do. God's offering it today. Not saved through his son. If you are saved, your story. I know the Holy Spirit's highlighting things in your life right now. Your story, your narrative. And those small steps you think are irrelevant, and those steps that you take that seem to backfire, and when you take, you think God's going to flood you with approval, and it feels like, where'd he go? He go on vacation? Where is he at? I feel so rejected right now. Been there, right? And then one day breaks in through to victory. And yours may, the victory may not happen yet. It's okay. It's coming. The Bible says if you're a Christ follower in Proverbs, that your life will shine brighter and brighter until the day you see Christ. And it says there's a whole lot of pain and fun in between that day. So keep taking small steps of faith, they count. Going from 3% giving to 10% counts. Giving above your tithe counts. Serving over there, greatest ministries, and I agree with Andy Stanley, after sitting with my daughter and hearing these little third graders talk, if I had the ability to communicate with them, I would quit the pastorate today and go be a children's pastor somewhere because there's so much more potential in that room than there is in this room. They don't have all the things in their way. They don't have broken relationships. They don't have hurt feelings. They don't have job loss. Incredible opportunity for you to invest in eternity. Whatever the case be, as you serve, whatever. Just take the small step of faith. It's so worth it. Let's pray together. Let's pray together today. Can we do that? With our heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a minute. Just a two-part prayer. The first part is for you if you've never accepted Christ. Say, Jay, stumbled in today. Don't know why I'm here. God wanted you here to hear that he died and rose again for you, that he loves you, that he would have done that for you if you were the only person that ever lived. And he invites you into relationship with him right now. And if you say, Jay, I want to have a relationship with God, then just from right where you're seated, ask him into your life. Say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior, my God. Forgive me of my sins and begin a new relationship with me. In your name, Jesus. Amen. With our heads bowed. If you prayed, invited Christ today, faith, just by faith, you took that step of faith, mark it on your card. The shelter team will contact you. They won't harass you. They just want to help know how to pray for you and help you take the next step. The next step of faith, it's awesome. They're there for you. Jesus followers, what an amazing place you are at. I was hoping that a girl that I invited 2 weeks ago would be at one of the services. She's too far away to come to our place. So I said, she goes, do you know a place around Kettering? I was like, oh, I know the place. You know where the old Shakers Theater is? What's a Shakers Theater? Okay, it's called Shelter Community now. This thing is so huge. God is reaping souls everywhere. Don't listen to the negative vibe. And I know there's so much oppression here. There's so much drug thing. And Montgomery County's this, Montgomery County's that. Begin to just practice maybe seeing people the way Jesus does. And I know it's hard. I know it's tough, man. I know I am tough to look at and see Jesus a lot of the time. But before you do that, let God remind you how he looks at you, and that's with love. Intrinsic value means like gold has intrinsic value. A baseball card only has value to people that like baseball cards. Gold has intrinsic value. It's valuable everywhere. Just by its inherent creation, you are invaluable to God. He sees you as a warrior, as a princess in a good way, as a person of faith. Step into the narrative that he sees. One baby step at a time, just one step. And I wonder what God's asking you today, Jesus follower, just what step that will be today. And as you discern with him what that is, as you wrestle with that maybe, that step even of wisdom and faith, I bless you with peace and truth. And Father, I pray that you would help us do what you've called us to do. Would you glorify and magnify your name? Would you continue to let shelter and expressions of shelter reach so all the people, God, you've called them to reach? Continue to strengthen Ryan and his family in this tension of bivocational pastor and the staff and leaders. And Father, most people come to church broken, and they come dumping and laying stuff out. And Father, it's a weight on the leaders, and so give them extra strength. And the people that are broken, give them extra strength, Father, that they can turn around and begin to reach out behind them and help someone else. And just speak, Holy Spirit, and do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.